I thank God for the opportunity to, excuse me, and I don't apologize for crying because these are tears of joy. And I thank God for how appropriate was the song that Brother Dennis played, because it should be all of our stories. Because the truth of the matter was that everybody was not born saved. And you might sit there and say that I didn't go through that or I didn't go through this, but you went through something. You went through some stuff that you wasn't supposed to go through, and the truth be told, you going through some stuff now that you ain't supposed to go through. But I thank God. Let us. There are things that have been transpiring in my life that is just incomprehensible to me sometimes. I think, Lord, like co-pastor prayed in the prayer, in the altar prayer, that one thing after another, when God finishes doing something in this area, something else happens in that area. And when things come my way, I you know, it hits your flesh first. See, folks, you know, religious folks especially, don't want to admit that stuff hits you in the flesh first. They wanna pretend as though they. You know, they all over the, they just high and mighty, and they got God on, you know, it's just, whoo, Jesus, thank you. But that stuff hits my flesh first. And then I give it to God. You understand what I'm saying? Then you know, I'm not Jesus. So don't look at me, you know, no kind of way, because I do get down in my spirit. I do. Things do happen to me that I don't quite understand, and I have to process it first in my spirit. And so then I take it to God, and God handles all of those. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them, not some of them, but the Bible says all of them. And so when I think back over my life and the things that I've gone through, all the trials and the tribulations that I've faced, all of the stuff that I caused to happen in my life. I could be, according to Habakkuk, I could be my own worst enemy. Satan didn't really have to do much for me. Satan introduced me, and I took it from there. I just took the baton, co-pastor, and that was good, Satan. Thank you. I appreciate that. And so I'm going to go on about my business with this thing. So at 15 years old, I was sitting on the railroad tracks at 20th and Ontario with a quart of Budweiser and a nickel bag of weed, getting high. Okay, you religious folks. Yo, looking at me like I'm crazy. I was sitting there getting high, and it started from there. So Satan really didn't have to do much to me or much for me, because he just gave me what I needed, and I just took it myself and I ran with it. And so that started all of the stuff that happened in my life. I've been through some crazy stuff. At the age of 18, I was at had a house, a three-story house on Lehigh Avenue between 22nd and 23rd, and I was living with a brother. His name was whatever his name was. You might know him, amen. He might be your cousin. And so I don't want you to tell him I'm still looking for him, amen. No, I'm just kidding. But we were in this house, and the house was broken into. Now, this brother was a good, close friend of mine, and I love this brother. And the house was broken into, and he thought that I set him up to be robbed. And so a couple days later, when I came home from work, my oldest daughter, Kiara, her mother and I were together then. I was 18 years old. So don't go back and, you hear that music? You know how folks are. And so when I got home from work, this guy had four of his friends there in the house. And they tied me up in the basement. And they proceeded to beat me for hours and hours and hours. And I almost left this earth. But God. And so that was just one incident. There were many, many incidents that I can recall because I was really stupid. Amen, somebody. I was really crazy. I was high every day, all night, all day, all night. You strike a match now and I can think about when I was smoking crack in the crack house. See, I'm going to get real with that thing right now. If you were to strike a match, the sulfur from that match will take me back. That's the truth of the matter, Co-Pastor. So I don't look like... Wow. I don't look like what I've been through. And so I want to preach to you. It's amazing how we read the Bible and we read stories in the Bible and we hear people say things and we just hear it. But we never realize how it applies to us sometimes. We don't realize how those things affect us. We don't realize where we can put it on something that happened to us in our lives. But I want to preach from the subject, if it had not been. If it had not been. Now, we're going to get there in a second. And I know I'm not supposed to preach long. But it... Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, so eloquently read by Reverend Woods, in your hearing, says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan have desired to have you. That he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brother." That was just... things were coming at me, so I was sharing with co-pastor earlier that when pastor told me that I was preaching here, immediately the Lord dropped a title in my spirit, but he didn't drop anything else until like now. And, well, there were some things that were coming. I was bits and pieces. I was getting bits and pieces here and bits and pieces there, But now, and it says, "Behold, Satan hath desired." And I stopped at that word desired, Co-Pastor, because it just struck me as Satan really wants us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he wants to make no mistake at all. He wants you to understand and know who's coming after you. He says the devil is walking about back and forth as a roaring lion looking for you. Don't think that it just happens, that Satan just happens to. Satan is looking for you, brothers and sisters. Satan is out to get you, and Rodney, he wants you dead. Not alive. You understand what I'm saying? And that word in the Greek, desire, means to require or demand. It means to claim back. That blew my mind. Because if Satan wants to claim back, oh my God. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. That means he had you before. See, if I claim something, I'm claiming it for the first time. But if I'm claiming something back, it was mine and somebody took it. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. So now he says, let's replace that. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan wants to get back what he already had. And now he wants to make sure that you can't go back because now he wants to sift you. Oh, my God. He wants to make sure that you're not together enough. That you can walk back to Jesus. He wants to make sure that you're lame enough that you can't see or walk back to Jesus. He wants to make sure that your mind is so messed up that you can't think about Jesus. He wants to sift you. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get back here. He says, Satan hath desired to have you. He wants to get back and he wants to possess you. Oh, Lord Jesus. If you only knew what Satan wanted to do to you last night while you were sleeping. Oh, my God, you would shudder in your bones. You know what I'm saying? So he said he desires to have you. That he might further kill you. See, Satan's killing is not quick. Whoa. He starts off with a bag of weed. Uh-huh. He starts off with a quart of beer. When you were 15 years old. Just innocent weed, and he starts off with that sifting of your mind. He tries to give you a rationalization that if God grew the weed, right. You understand what I'm saying? He tries to, it came from the earth, and the scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and if a cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him, this weed plant is his too. You understand what I'm saying? So I can roll it. I can twist one. It's all right. It's God. Don't. So now, after we see Satan trying to reclaim us. After we see that Satan is trying to further manipulate our minds and our spirits and our hearts, after we see this, we're left in a place that we don't really want to be. How many of you want to be in Satan's camp? I would pray for you. If you want to be in Satan, I don't want to be nowhere around Satan. And so that's why he comes at you in such a way that he makes it desirous. Because if Satan were to appear with a red suit on, with horns and a fork, with smoke just billowing up out of his collar, you would run like hell. Am I right about it? I don't know who would gravitate towards somebody wearing a red suit, fangs, horns, the whole nine yards. I'm out. You understand what I'm saying? But brothers, if a fine woman is what you want, bang, boom, bang, pow. You understand what I'm saying? Let me remind you of what boys to men say. Never trust her at a smile. That girl is poison. Who? Bell Biv, the who? Yeah, them. Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike, or whoever, whatever it is. You understand what I'm saying? But if that's what you like, that's what Satan is going to come at. Sisters, if you like one of them Hanscom brothers, driving a Lexus, pimping, pockets got the mumps, that's what I'm saying. Suave. One of them pretty Ricky's doing pretty things. You understand what I'm saying? If you desire a guy like that, that's where Satan coming. I mean, he coming like this, too. Yeah. All right, baby.
Hey, baby, let me holler at you for a second. I need to talk to you, baby, because you look like you belong with me. You know what I'm saying?
That's how Satan is going to come. So now you have to be sober, be vigilant, because Pretty Ricky, Big Butt Susie, y'all don't want to tell the truth today. And see, I believe it's just my belief that Jesus came just for me. Because he knew that I would be sitting on the railroad tracks at 15 years old, rationalizing what Satan had his plan for me. Well, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, Kevin, to bring you, Kevin, to an expected end, Kevin. I'm going to end all of this stuff, Kevin. This ain't your plan. This ain't your story. This is just a process in that I'm taking you through that you might get to those who I've assigned to you later on in 2008. 9, 10, 11, and so on until I reassign you to someone else. You have been in the process, Kevin. And so now I'm saying, well, who's keeping me? Who kept me from overdosing? Because there were times that when I was from Friday night to Monday morning in the crack house trying to get my high on, that the Lord kept me. And I'm saying, it's amazing how I wonder all the cocaine that I smoked that I didn't kill myself on the spot. All the heroin I was snort, co-pastor, on the spot. Why did not God take my life right then? Because I prayed for you. There, go right there. He said, but I have prayed for you, Kevin. I got to make it personal, co-pastor, because this is my word. This is my story. It's God's word. God's word. You understand what I'm saying? He said, but I have prayed for you that what I put in you from the door, that what I gave you before I formed you in your mother's womb, Kevin, I knew you. I gave you stuff. I gave you gifts. I gave you the calling. I gave you the spirit of this. I gave you this. I gave you that. That what I placed in you way back when, that your faith now won't fail. He said, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And then when you're converted, when God brings you out of the cocaine stage, when God brings you out from snorting bathtub monster, Sister Lorraine, you understand what I'm saying? When God brings you out from snorting heroin and taking pills and rubbing stuff all in you, and putting blotter acid up under your tongue, and smoking weed, and dropping meth in a bottle of beer, and drinking and smoking a joint before you get in the shower in the morning. When God brings you out of that, he wants you to go back. He wants you to go back. And those that you passed on the way, he wants you to strengthen your brother. That's what God wants you to do. That's why God prayed for you. He didn't have to pray for you, but he prayed for you that his will be done in not only your life, but in the lives of somebody else. That's why he did it.
He said, and when you are converted,
strengthen your brother. You know what I mean, GWE. Go back. I want you to go back and I want you to grab someone's hand and I want you to tell them how I did not kill you while you were in your mess. I want you to tell them about the night that shots rang out over your head and you didn't get shot. I want you to tell them how the guy standing right next to you was stabbed in his face and the arm missed you. That's why you still here. I want you to go back and tell somebody. I want you to go back and tell somebody if it had not been.
This don't have to be long. You understand what I'm saying? I believe somebody got something already.
But my man David wrote a song about it. You want to hear it? Here it go. Psalm 124 said, if it had not been. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. That's it right there. Pastor, that's it right there. If it had not been the Lord. That's how I, oh, Lord. Oh, okay. That's how I got over. See, there's three things in this passage of Scripture. Psalm 124, for those of you who are looking. 1 through 5 represents a great danger. 6 and 7 represents God's help when they escape. And then the last verse is our trust in God. I got that from Minister Mitch. See, he teaches me stuff when he preaches. You understand what I'm saying? Minister Mitch taught me the trust in God. You understand? Lord, have mercy. See, the bigger the disease, the better the person looks who heals you. The bigger the disease, the better the person looks. Ooh, Lord, you got to get that, Lord. I pray. I need you to get that one. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And so people that look like you from the same race, from the same age group, from the same background, from the same church, is always the ones that will attack you. You don't see folks from Keswick and Morrell in the greater Northeast coming down here bothering you. It's Ray Ray and them right around the corner. Am I right about it? It says, now listen to the song. I thought about Brother Dennis because I thought, when I was thinking about Brother Dennis, I thought about James Brown sitting there. If it had not been, it's your son. That's just the way my mind works. I'm sorry, but look at what it says. Read the scripture with me. Psalm 124. It says, right, that's what he's saying. That seat. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, now may Israel say. So I'll be in line. I just want, see. Now watch. See you. No. So
So now he goes to verse 2 and it says, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side when men rose up against me. Now these were people, see, this whole psalm is depicting the deliverance from Egypt, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And when they were going through the Red Sea experience, or the parting of the Jordan, either one, you wasn't there, so you know. Since if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against you. See, people like that ain't satisfied till they destroyed. People like that who come up against you are not satisfied until they've destroyed. See, because when we read the scriptures, I hear God saying, listen, Kevin, I want you to understand, that no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. And then I thank you, Lord. He just, and every tongue that rise up against you in condemnation, watch this, you shall condemn. God has given us the power to tread over all the power of the enemy. And by no means shall anything hurt you. Nothing. But you got to get to the end of the chapter and you got to trust in God. You understand what I'm saying? He says, then they had swallowed us up quick with their wrath, when their wrath was kindled against us. Isn't it ironic that church folk are so quick to bash church folk? Got quiet in here. You know how the preacher says, oh, not in Philadelphia prayer, praise and worship center, please. Church folks are sometimes the worst folks to deal with, because some of them just ain't got it. That's why we got co-pastor and pastor to teach Brother Dennis on Wednesday night. Brother Dennis pours his heart out to us that we might learn some things. But if it had not been. So then the waters had overwhelmed us. The streams had gone over our souls. The proud waters had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our souls. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. God will put no more on you than you can bear without making a way that you can get away from it. You understand what I'm saying? You may think you're going through some things right now, but God has an escape plan for you. You may think your bills are too high and too much for you to pay right now, but God has a way that makes you, that will give you an escape route. You may not have a job right now, but God has a way that you might be able to escape. You might not have a home right now, but God has a way of giving you something that you can get away with. And I just, you may be sick in your body right now, but God has a way of he's got an escape plan for that. Because I heard somebody say, if it had not been for Jehovah Rapha on my side, the Lord God who heals, the Lord God who sees. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody in this church has been healed from some dreadful disease, and you ought to say, thank you, Lord, because if it had not been for Jehovah Rapha on my side, you don't know where you would be. And then I heard somebody say, Jehovah Rohi, the God of seeing. You know God sees you where you are. You know God sees the situation that you're in. You know God sees everything that, Lord have mercy, that you do. But if it had not been for God who was on my side. Then I heard somebody said that he was Jehovah Shabaoth, the commander of the angelic host and the armies of God. You know what? If you've lost all hope and you are defenseless in trouble, feeling trapped like we have an army of angels surrounding all of us in the name of Jesus, we have somebody that will fight for us. We don't have to do a thing because he said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Then I heard Sister Brenda when God gave me this one, he said, he's my Jehovah Jireh. Somebody might not be without a job right now. Some of us might be having trouble making ends meet. But God always provides our needs at the right time, at the right place. Something may be going on in your life, and God have mercy. You may not know where your next meal is coming from. You may not know how you're going to pay that next bill. But God said, I'm your Jehovah Jireh. So Lord have mercy, Jesus. Then I heard Deacon Tony. That's my deacon right there. I heard my Deacon Tony say, he's my Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Because Deacon Tony said, wherever I go, wherever I am, I'm going to let the world know that I love Jesus. I'm going to wave him around like he's my banner. I'm going to let everybody know that I'm in love with Jesus. And I don't care what nobody says. He said, I wasn't going to tell a living soul, but I just can't keep it to myself. He's my Jehovah Nissi. Hallelujah. Then somebody said, he's my Jehovah Shalom. He's my peace. Everything in my house, everything in my life is breaking down. It's like a whirlwind. But do you know in the eye of the storm, there is nothing but peace. I can sit down and understand that while I'm going through the storm, he's got me in the eye. I'm the apple of his eye. So I'm in the middle of a storm. You understand what I'm saying, Mother Island? I'm in the middle of the storm, but while I'm going through this storm, I can sit down and understand that God is my peace. He's giving me a peace that passes all understanding. I don't know how he's doing it. I don't particularly care how he's doing it. Long as I know that if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to stop saying that because I know where I'd be. I'd be dead and buried in my grave. That's where I'd be. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The Lord, our peace. And we get that peace by trusting in Jesus and being obedient to God so it will create a right relationship with him. Scripture says in Philippians chapter 4, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Y'all see, the problem with us Christians is that we don't include everything. We're selective in our process of giving things to God. We give him some things. The things we think that he can handle. And then we keep some stuff that we... Thank you, Lord. We don't give God those things that we need to give God because we're embarrassed to give those things that we need to give to God. You don't give God the pornography. You don't give God the down-lowism. You don't give God the alternative lifestyle-ism. You don't give God those things that you don't think, you know, those creeping things. You understand? Are there any creepers in the house? I was a creeper, amen. Because what happened was I would creep at night. I would wait till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, because I heard one of them singers say it's darkest just before the dawn. So I would think that if I wait till the darkest part just before the dawn, that God couldn't see me, co-pastor. So I'd be creeping. And then I read Psalm 139. Kev, I don't care where you go. You can descend and then go up and over there. I know them. I know every hair that's on. I know when you get up from creeping. I know when you sit down and get ready to creep. So I did? I said, you know what, Lord? I surrender all. I surrender all. Because if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I'd be dead. That's why Jesus came. Just for Kevin Padgett. Born in June 29th, 1959. At 5:40 p.m. at Pennsylvania Hospital at 8th and Spruce. He came that I might have life, and that I might have life more abundantly. Because how you like me now? It wasn't anything that I have done. But if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. God bless you. Now open. And there might be somebody here today that is saying, you know what? I understand.